welcome everyone. On behalf of the family of Sister Jenny Optendries, I'd like to welcome you all. Of course, you as family and friends, and those who are also joining us via live stream, we welcome you all as we take this time to give thanks to our Lord and Father, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for all that he has given our sister and has given you, and also at this take this time to seek comfort and strength in his word as we deal also the passing away of mom, grandma, and friend. And we'll do so starting with praise, giving thanks to God for the many rich and amazing gifts that he gives us, his amazing grace. And so let us stand to sing this one. We'll stand and sing Amazing Grace, the three stanzas, as you'll find in your program. Let me now lead you in a word of prayer. Let's pray. Almighty God and Father, we come before your throne in this time of need. We come before your presence, before your throne as the throne of mercy and grace, knowing that you will provide all that we need. My Father, life takes us to all kinds of joys and also sadness. And yet wherever we go, Father, we find that you are there, to be praised, to be glorified, to be worshipped with heart and soul. And we thank you that we may do that then also this afternoon. That we can give you thanks for the life and the faith that you've given Jenny Optendries. That it's also so clear in her life that, yes, you are rich in amazing grace. And that she could sing of it, that she could live by it. And Father, may that then also be what we look at then this afternoon. Finding your grace as that wonderful comfort. Finding your grace, let me grant us peace. And would you give us then that rich comfort? Our Father, we do come before you with sadness and grief on our hearts. May that be then also that we find your word to guide us through all of it. And just send us from here, trusting in you. And so may your word be our help and our support, just as it was for our sister, and may it grant it all that we need, according to your blessing. We ask this all in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ alone. Amen. Seeking God's presence in prayer leads right into our next song, I Need Thee Every Hour. And so continue through the program now with that song, hymn, I Need Thee Every Hour.
Thank you.
As our scriptural reading, we'll turn to the book of Psalms, to Psalm 23, which is also printed on the back of the program. For those who wanted to read along there, I believe it's also will be projected beside me. As mentioned also in the program, Psalm 23 had come up, and again also in the last month or so in Jenny's life, as people came to visit her, as she asked for people to read with her. And so it's only fitting that then this afternoon we turn to that psalm once again. It's not only is it comforting for those who are in trial, but those also who are now left here to seek God's comfort. And so Psalm 23, which is a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his namesake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So far, God's word. Let's now sing of that wonderful peace, feeling peace like a river, again following the program. Beautiful words of comfort and peace in all of life's circumstances. And it fits so well also with those verses from Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. My beloved family of friends and brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ. As mentioned, and as you know, and as the family has shared in the last couple of months of Jenny's life, this Psalm 23 has come up again and again. some ways not surprising. It's this wonderful psalm about the Lord as our shepherd, and it's wonderful comfort to go to, also for her and for, I'm sure, also for you and many people around her. So it's only fitting that we turn to it again this afternoon. And I've, more or less after I had spoken with some of the family, kind of came to focus on those last couple of verses, especially that last one there. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I believe for some it was some memories of Jenny and also singing that as you were growing up, probably having some kind of rhymed version of this psalm to be on her heart and on her lips, and so also using that this afternoon. And one of the things that stands out as you go through this psalm, Psalm 23, is that, yes, there's this wonderful picture at the beginning of the Lord as this shepherd, leading sheep up and down hills, bringing it down to calm brooks and water, to green fields. And then at the end, it transitions. It gets into this other beautiful image, which is of the Lord our God as a host, someone who welcomes us at his table, who welcomes us into his house. And it's this beautiful picture. I mean, we get that, we understand shepherding and what that looks like, but maybe even more so what we can still relate to is that picture of someone being a host, of a house being a time, a celebration. Just think about how even still today, whether it's Thanksgiving or Christmas or some other time, we make time specifically for family meals. We spend that time as time for good food and drink and company. And perhaps even we are those who have to travel, and we enjoy every part of it, the travel, the being welcomed, the ability to visit loved ones. And it's those kind of images that draw us into those verses there in Psalm 23. Except for it's the Lord, who then as a host opens up his doors, spreads his table for festivities. And if you were an Old Testament Jew and you've maybe spoke or sang this psalm, you could have thought about how wonderful it was. You could go to the temple, you could worship, and then if you went through all the sacrifices at the end, yeah, even then, there was this time of really fellowship and eating and drinking in God's house, at his table. We go to church and we're Christians, we think of the Lord's Supper table, which is another symbol of the same thing. And then it's Jesus Christ who welcomes us to sit at his table. The scripture is full of that rich and comforting picture of God's generosity and warmth. And this psalm, even if it's just a couple of verses, describes it so beautifully. David pictures coming through the doors, entering the house, and perhaps we imagine the hugs and kisses that come while someone pours oil on your head, the perfume and soap that covers over weary travelers. It brings everyone into the festive spirit. As you're led into a dining hall, you see a wonderful, wondrous meal prepared, a table set for many, and you perhaps even think it's bound to be a good time. There's nothing even there left in this psalm to bother you or to disturb the peace. David says, even your enemies have been taken care of. The table is prepared before them. You might have thought, I can't be here. There's something else to do. There's something I have to worry about. But no, the Lord says, look, I've taken care of it all. It will not disturb the dinner. It's this imagery of a time of victory and success, a banquet of rest and enjoyment in the presence of the Lord. And even that picture, in just its brief detail, has such gospel richness. The fact that the Lord, our God, is our host, that he prepares a table and invites us to enter. He deals with our enemies, even if we perhaps have to be honest and saying, who are these enemies? What is he talking about? Well, often enough, we are even our own worst enemies. And we know that God doesn't care about that. He forgives and he accepts us by faith in Jesus Christ. He brings us in. He anoints our heads with oil. Our cup overflows, all language of richness. The guests, as guests, we just bring ourselves and God prepares the dinner. That just follows, again, of that language of complete reliance on the Lord. Do you find that in the wonderful imagery as well as being sheep and Him the shepherd? That He's abundantly good to us. Not based on anything that we've done, because we see in Scripture that whenever it's a banquet, whenever there's festivity, whenever it is, it's Jesus Christ coming as our host, accepting sinners, calling in hungry and thirsty souls to come, eat, buy without price, find living water, and don't pay for it. He goes to the highways and the byways saying, all come. You know that amazing grace. Be my guest and enjoy all of this by grace. And it's that picture that then leads into that confident confession that we'll look at. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. If God so richly receives us, if He's so generous and warm, the psalm David goes, then I can only imagine that for the rest of my life, goodness and love will follow me. Goodness and mercy will be my companion on the way. Not as if the psalm puts its blinders on. I mean, life does have its struggles. It talks about the shadow of the valley, of the shadow of death. It talks about enemies. But the psalmist is confident that yet, even in the midst of that, goodness and mercy will follow me. Pursues us even, as it says. Isn't that often the case in life? You may even not even know it at the time, but it's when you look back that you realize that God's goodness and mercy were following you, sometimes maybe surprisingly, in strength, in growth, in comfort, in care, and support, and these things that you take for granted. That it's His goodness that keeps on coming, and it follows us wherever we go. And these words of the psalm are so confident. It's this kind of confession. For some, it may be easy to confess that, yeah, surely this is who God is and this is what will happen in life. For others, it may be more difficult. I can imagine, I'm sure our sister Jenny Optendries had her questions at times. So we all have. And yet, in most of her life, it was pretty clear that she lived by this confession. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. That's why when I started to think about it, as you shared also, that we would deal with Psalm 23 this afternoon, I thought, I wasn't actually ended up surprised that she, like, you would remember her singing that and singing these verses, because she did seem to live by them. I was trying to think if I could remember her ever complaining about something. I'm sure she did, everyone's human, but I don't think I ever heard it. That wasn't part of the general norm of our conversation. Even in the past year, her health might have kept her down. There might have been COVID restrictions and the like, yet you could phone her up. She may even be honest and say, no, Pastor, I'm not feeling too great. Not feeling too well. But then she would encourage herself and others, and she would just say, you know, we just keep on holding on. Pastor, we just keep on holding on. We just keep on pressing forward. Why does someone say that? Why does someone say, even when things don't seem very well, why does it say, do we just keep on holding on? Well, it's because of this confession. That confidence that this is who the Lord is, so surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And when we do keep holding on and we keep on pressing forward, we'll find ourselves eventually in the house of the Lord for the rest of our lives. And that's the picture that the psalm ends with and leaves us with. The Lord receives us as hosts. He welcomes us at His table. He invites us then also to stay with Him forever. He's more than a host for a day or a meal. He says, my house will become your house. Be at home here. And it's hard not to think of this verse and then also tie it into how Scripture is always full of that God is our Father and that we belong as believers into that family of God. Because that's where the Bible goes again and again. When it talks about God as a host, it's like a subset, just an aspect of the fact that He is a Heavenly Father who, of course, spreads out the table for His children. He cares for His people. And He cares for them to have a place where they belong, where they are loved, that they can call home. But not just any place, really. But a God, a Lord, a family, a Father to belong to, and to be there forever. And as we consider God's heart and concern and that confidence in Psalm 23, we see that, you know, comparing that to the life of Jenny, we see also a same kind of heart and concern. You know, concern for family. I believe that's also what you've shared in the program, that was important for us. And I mean, family is important for many of us. And so that's in some ways not surprising. And as a pastor, I'm not surprised when I go and visit people and they talk about their family, because that's a big part of our lives. And many of those, especially in older age, may be quite proud of their family and want to share what this person has done and what that person has done. And so in some ways, I probably have heard of many of you at least at some point in time. And it's wonderful, right? They share, and Jenny too shared her, of her goodness and the joy that she experienced in family. For example, I think one that stands out, when in the last couple of years, well, I think most of her kids, most of you came down to work on her house. She really enjoyed it. And though she probably wouldn't say that she was proud, she probably was proud in saying that how she realized how special it was, because even neighbors in Desert Cove were kind of like, whoa, you got all your family there to help you out. It's a wonderful thing to see. And so she loved to share that. But this is also where she stood out, because a story like that about her family and what she would, the joys and experiences that she was had on her mind and in her heart, would inevitably lead into this question: how is your family? In my case, how is Debbie? How are your parents? How are you doing? Every time. As much as she cared for her family, and as much as she wanted to share that joy, she would always make it a turn to look at how others were doing. She didn't just enjoy the care and the love that she experienced in her family. Her concern was that others too may just enjoy the same things. And in that sense, and in that concern, she shared the heart and the concern of our Lord, who is that great host. Because his concern too is that we all would have somewhere to belong, somewhere to be welcome, somewhere to find rest and enjoyment and good company. But again, somewhere for him just isn't good enough. He opens his house. He opens his heavenly kingdom. He welcomes in his children. He seats them at his table. He welcomes us to stay with him. He welcomes us to say that I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What a wonderful prospect and promise and comfort also for you and for us all. I mean, it is that promise that, yes, as much as we may even have that confidence of saying goodness and mercy will follow us all of the days of our lives, that even at the end of our life, there is still that place where we get to belong. A place where we could call home, a Father who would welcome us. There's a place to belong even outside of this life. And as for you as family and friends as well, you know, we all know that your mom and Oma will be missed, especially at those times when there are family dinners, Christmas and the like, because there will be an empty seat. But those last verses of this psalm just remind us that there's another seat that she fills right now. She has taken her seat in the house of the Lord, welcomed at his door, seated at his table, given glorious rest and enjoyment of the one who loves us and her deeply, so that there she may again sing, "Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Amen. Let's now continue to sing as well of God's abiding presence with us, and we'll do so then by singing the hymn, "Abide With Me." So yes, there's now opportunity for those of the family who wish to say a few words.
The definition, pausing for effect, the definition of a mother's legacy. It is a priceless gift, which cannot be repaid, but is a gift which should be shared. Over and over, which our mother left for all of us. Our mother was teaching us by her example right to the bitter end. For example, when the pastor came in to visit Mom near the end, he asked if he could read from Scripture. When he finished, he asked Mom if he could pray. She misunderstood this and started to pray for him and for all of us. And the pastor, graciously let her complete her prayer. Another example was when we would be spoon-feeding Mom yogurt or that wretched oatmeal. She would silently pray for her meal before eating it. Our Mom, always the server, when we asked Mom, "Do you have any pain?" she would reply, "No, and you?" Or, "Mom, did you have a good sleep?" it would be, "Yes, and did you?" And her go-to phrase, "How's the weather?" Or when the grandkids went to see her and were getting ready to leave with tears running down their face, she moved her slender hand and rubbed their arms and asked, "What's the matter?" Mom, Oma, was a good God-fearing woman, and this gives us so much comfort. Not one of us is wondering if she's with our Lord and Savior. Mom, Oma, sister, friend, loved all of us equally. Some amongst us think that they were her favorite, but we will just let them continue to think this. We all loved her very deeply. Mom, you will be forever loved. Mom, you will be forever loved, forever missed, but never forgotten. And as Dad, and Mom always said, keep looking up.
So I'll give some background to this card. It was shortly after Mom passed. We were at Mom's house, and I feel like we were all grieving. A sweet, sweet woman dropped us off at the front door, and the words gave comfort. So I think as a family, we would like to share that with all of you. It is a poem. I'll just start. I'm spending Christmas with Jesus this year. I see the countless Christmas trees around the world below, with tiny lights like heaven stars reflecting on the snow. The sight is so spectacular, please wipe away that tear, for I am spending Christmas with Jesus Christ this year. I hear the many Christmas songs that people hold so dear, but the sounds of music can't compare with the Christmas choir up here. For I have no words to tell you the joy their voices bring, for it is beyond description to hear an angel sing. I can't tell you of the splendor or the peace here in this place. Can you just imagine Christmas with our Savior face to face? I'll ask him to light your spirit as I tell him of your love, so then pray for one another as you lift your eyes above. Please let your hearts be joyful, and let your spirit sing, for I am spending Christmas in heaven, and I'm walking with the King. There's no idea where the poem came from, but may it be a source of comfort to you in this month.
No one else, then I will I'll lead you in prayer. Heavenly God and Father, we thank you for your word and the rich comfort it gives, that you show yourself to be that wonderful shepherd who leads us through life, but also as that most generous hospitable host is bringing us into your kingdom and into your loving family and house. Our Father, it is too rich and too wonderful for us to even understand right now. And yet, Father, it is exactly our comfort now as we consider also the passing of our sister Jenny Oxendries. May that knowledge be a blessing for the family that is left here behind as they consider the wonderful gifts that you've given. Also consider the wonderful blessings that you've given through her. And Father, they may find comfort in your word. And Father, it is true that family is also a blessing from your hand. It is a wonderful gift. Yeah, it comes also with its own struggle. But yes, it just shows your grace all the more. And so may that also be the case for us all. And may it be that we all may have that confession that surely your goodness and love will follow us through our life. And as we travel through here, you would be with us, and that we may have our eyes on that, indeed, that Christmas and that celebration with our Lord and Savior. Be with the family as well. Comfort them. Give them all that they need, also among each other right now. But also in this time of grief, there would be peace and some rejoicing even in the rich blessings that you've granted them through our sister. Would you give them traveling mercies as they go from here, and that in this time, Father, they may experience your strength and your comfort, that rich comfort that comes from above, that peace that transcends all understanding, that can only come from you, as the Lord and giver of life, Father. And so we pray in the name of Jesus Christ alone. Amen. Let's now stand once again for our closing hymn, which will be Still My Soul. So as we come to the end, may we truly end with that doxology once again. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. And so I believe there'll be, again, refreshments at the back, and I'll ask then the family here at the front to lead us out. Thank you.